Say, Lord, I receive.
Lord, I receive.
Your grace and favor.
Your grace and favor.
No test is too big.
No test is too big.
Or too small.
Or too small.
All things.
All things.
Are working out.
Are working out.
For my well-being.
For my well-being.
Because of my trust.
Because of my trust.
In you.
In you.
This morning, as I was searching for the heart of the Lord, he gave me Psalm 33. And so I'm going to ask you to just join me in Psalm 33. I believe the Holy Spirit prepares everything ahead. Yes?
Guess what?
What?
I get the same one this morning.
Well, we're on the same page, huh? Must be the same Holy Ghost.
Yep. I didn't realize it until I looked at it. I had this thing right here.
Yeah, he said that to sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. So he's already declaring that we are righteous. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion to be righteous. It's a state of being. Mm-hmm. It's something you own that he gave to you and me. And, you know, we take it from a religious standpoint many, many times, instead of the truth of his grace that has been poured out into us and how much he cares about each one of us. It is so much more than the religious mind can settle for, because my religious mind had to be exploded away. I can't tell you how many times, because again, we have this, you know, built-in, that you pointed out, built-in blaming stuff, you know, constantly blame. It's your fault. And it really isn't about the fault-finding that's important. I think what happens is this. When we are righteous and we sing about it, we're happy about it, joy comes from the Lord, and it starts to revitalize our ability to receive information. Joe, you pointed out that he told you that you had that stuff that needed to be dealt with. And it wasn't a happy moment. Okay? Darlene, you pointed out that, you know, the Holy Spirit's showing you that there's a trust, but then there's a level. And yeah, you may be there in one corner, but not there in another. And I believe this is how, to me, the body of Christ works. Every one of us has a righteousness from God. But I believe we are specialists in different areas on each level. And so it's not a matter of learning this whole book by heart, although it would be nice to know the whole thing, all right? But applying the nature of it, applying how he acts and reacts with us towards those that are angry with us, think they're better than us, and we become Christ to them when we pour out love. When we pour out the same thing that they give, what are we doing? We've joined them in their deception. And we're not even conscious of it. A defense mechanism builds up what? My pride. I'm right and they're wrong. You know? So, sing joyfully, verse 1. To the Lord, you righteous, it is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. If you look at the Amplified, it also says that you've refined yourself and you've done a good job with it, correct? Could you read verse 2? Yeah.
Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of ten strings.
Yeah. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. You got a new song too, remember? Okay. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Can you play skillfully without trying or practicing?
By the Spirit, right?
By the Spirit you can, but in the natural, you need to put some effort in. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Now, do you think that the emotions of that are going to match sometimes?
Mm-mm.
No. They're not going to match. 6. By the words of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. I love that part. Or heaps. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. So this is expounding on the fear of the Lord, which is one of the spirits of the Father. The 7 spirits of God are visible on that chart. And the fear of the Lord is one of them. It's one of the things that we have an awe awareness of the greatness of the God that loves us and created us for his own purpose. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. This connects with the plans that God knows, Jeremiah 29:11, that he has for you. He says the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. So God knows the plans he has for us, and they're going to stand firm
forever.
Forever. So, you know, I think sometimes we'd like to have a free ride to heaven, and we have got it through Christ. But there's a learning process about who we are. What has pushed our buttons? What has operated in us and through us and done damage to others? Because we wanted to treat them the way they treated us. But Holy Spirit says, hold no grudges. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, holding no grudge, especially when you've been betrayed and you've been disrespected, well, after all, they deserve a good slap in the right place and readjust their thinking, right? Wrong. Be an example. Be the righteousness of God towards them to the best of your ability. And if you can't do it on your own, ask for help. So the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So in other words, he's aware of where we are at in our development as men and women designed to become more and more like Jesus. I could take you to Romans 8, reminding you that you're going to be one of his brothers or sisters. So that means you're going to be related. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to be related to the firstborn son. Verse 12. Blesses the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he chose for his inheritance. The nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Notice it's he chose. It's not they chose. I believe that when this psalm was written hundreds of years ago, that they were aware that they had been chosen by God. One thing that you can definitely recognize about our nation, the United States of America, is that we chose the God of Israel. He chose us, yes, but we also declared that we were his. And now, for the past, let's say 50, 60, maybe even more years, there's been a steady decline. Mm-hmm. I can remember a few days after 9/11, Grace Church of Christ was full of people. The following Sunday, full of people. The following services, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, the church was full. And then it began to dwindle. And it dwindled some more. And I remember speaking to my pastor saying, I think they're not afraid of God anymore. We didn't get any more bombs. No more buildings fell. I don't think they're concerned. They're just going back to the routine of everyday life. So, what does that say about our nation? Falling away has been a pattern. When everything is running smooth, who needs God?
We always need God.
Huh?
We always need God.
I know we need.
But they didn't.
But it gets very, very ho-hum to go to church. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to learn anything. Are they going to pray over me today? Am I going to get a word of knowledge? Mm-hmm. You know. So, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. So he's got an eye on all of us. Amen?
Yeah.
From his dwelling place he watches all who live on the earth. Does that leave anybody out?
No. Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm included.
I'm included.
Hallelujah. He who forms the hearts of all. If you take that and you look at that, you see he's formed your heart. You say, well, I don't like the garbage. It's part of that formation. But he's also part of the deliverance. Because when the Holy Spirit began to work on me, I can tell you truthfully, there was so much unforgiveness, it was pathetic. Okay? And I'm talking about layers of it. Okay? It was not one of those stacks of pancakes. It was, I can tell you, from here to you know where. And it was so, so intense. I had so much bitterness in me. And it was with a variety of circumstances and people. And he took a long time to just do some scraping on the bottom. And I'll be honest with you, there was some stuff that was stuck, like, you know, the real pan that's been burnt. And it was hard to get off because, you know what? I didn't want to do it. I wanted to justify myself. And he wouldn't let me off the hook. And is he done? Absolutely not done. Got more to come. So he formed my heart, and he considers everything that we do. Try that one on for size. Say, he formed my heart.
He formed my heart.
And he considers.
And he considers.
Everything that I do.
Everything that I do.
Wow. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strengths, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. There again, the fear of the Lord. And on those who hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. There are famines in God's word. There is famines in natural areas, etc., etc. But he is the deliverer on all these levels. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. I think what you've heard from each other today on different levels shows you not only the help, but the protection. Keeping you safe when you didn't think you needed to be kept. Keeping you free when you didn't think you were free. Keeping you in trust. Wow. I remember saying to the Lord one time, he said, Kim, will you trust me? And I says, I can't. I just can't. He said, can you choose to trust me? Well, now that put a different light on it. Making a choice I could do. And I can remember, this is way, way back, middle 80s. And I said, okay, I will choose to trust. It was a choice. It was a free will decision to choose to trust him. So I'm going to ask you to just put your right hand on your heart on this one and just close your eyes. Say, the eyes of my Father.
The eyes of my Father.
Are on me.
Are on me.
Because I fear his abilities.
Because I fear his abilities.
But I'm also trusting.
But I'm also trusting.
By choice.
By choice.
In his unfailing love.
In his unfailing love.
To deliver me from death.
To deliver me from death.
And to keep me alive.
And to keep me alive.
Through all the circumstances.
Through all the circumstances.
That I walk in.
That I walk in.
On an everyday basis.
On an everyday basis.
I lift up those that I carry in my heart.
I lift up those that I carry in my heart.
And I release unfailing love to them.
And I release unfailing love to them.
Because the unfailing love.
Because the unfailing love.
Comes from him.
Comes from him.
Down into my heart.
Down into my heart.
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
And he loves me.
And he loves me.
He loves me beyond my understanding.
He loves me beyond my understanding.
Amen.
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 Verse 20, he says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. What's the difference between trusting by choice or having hope in him? There are areas that are so far-fetched ahead of us that trusting for it is almost like unreachable. That's where we can hope. We can choose to hope and choose to activate our hope for the future, for our nation, for the people we pray for. I can remember the morning that I listened to the news and eight of the little boys there were freed up. And there were still, you know, several others that needed to come out. And they showed a diagram on the Fox News Network of the length of the tunnel, basically 2.5 miles long, and then showing how they had to put storage tanks in different areas for air, and recognizing that these were little kids, 10 and 11 years old, and most of them didn't know how to swim. I guess all of them, but I'm not positive. But the bottom line that I thought was truly awesome is it took hours and hours to prepare to take them one by one and to bring them into safety. They had to choose to trust. They had to choose that there would be enough oxygen to carry them through the amount of underwater, literally following the divers that had been prepared. Sometimes I think that that's a little bit of a description of how he works with us. We come up for air, and we get a fresh revelation of, oh my God, he does love me after all. Oh my God, my unbelief is being exposed. He loves me this much. When somebody gave me that nail the other day, and I felt the weight of it, and I thought about, you know, how would I do if that was presented to be put into my wrist? Oh, man. You know, I can truly believe that when Jesus was in the garden, which was where the house of prayer was born, it was right in that tomb area, that garden, not tomb. Well, it was the place of death on that big rock. And I can remember walking into that church after crying my eyes out for I don't know how long in the Garden of Gethsemane and looking at the intensities of those trees and trying to survive all the emotions that were going on inside of me and the weeping that wouldn't stop. And then walking into that big church for all nations, which is why this church is for all nations. And I can still remember walking towards following you guys that had already gone towards the area where there were benches, and the Holy Spirit shows me the wall on the right-hand side of the church, and he said, go lay down. Well, now, you know, there was no reasoning time. My emotions were so out of whack, and I just laid down like in a fetal position facing the wall. The weeping and the pain in my belly was unbelievable, of the contortions. And I couldn't comprehend what was going on. And your brain is trying to figure out, why am I crying? I have zero information. But the tears are flowing 100 miles an hour. I got no more Kleenex. I got no more hanky. I got nothing except my sleeve. So obviously, you know the choices. And surviving that. And then facing, I couldn't even see the altar. That was not visible. All I could see was that black wrought iron fence around that big stone. And he said to me, and I know he said it loud and clear, go kneel down on the right-hand side. And so there was an altar rail. And I knelt there. And there was a gate to my left. And I'm kneeling there, and I mean, the tears didn't stop. They were still flowing 100 miles an hour. My head's full of fluid. And I hear, go inside through the gate and go touch the stone. Anybody got a clue what went through my head? The gate's locked, so you can't go there. That's no trespassing sign is there. And nobody's allowed in there, except those that belong to this church. And so I heard it again, loud and clear. I want you to go through the gate and go touch the stone. It's okay. So finally, you know, even as I'm touching the latch, the enemy's still saying it's locked. It opened, I went in. It was like I was the only person in that whole big building. And there was a lot of people there. But I was alone. It was me and him, period. And I knelt next to the other little railing. And I touched the stone and something happened inside that I can't describe. I don't even remember what it was because it was so full of all kinds of things. And it really took me weeks and months to get a revelation of what he did to me and what he was doing inside of me. Because this is a work of him. And that's why today I believe that what he's doing is this small group is capable of doing with each other what a large group could not perform. So you need to be aware that there's a purpose in all things. There's a reason in all things. And there's an ultimate goal from God's perspective. He considers everything we do. Remember, verse 15? He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. He knows everything about us. And as we listen to his Spirit, we're going to know more and more about ourselves and then the plan he has for us, which is a plan to build and to construct us, to be ready for eternity because we've already entered. We're already in eternity. It's not happening tomorrow. It's already here. We are eternal beings going to live forever. And yes, we will be with Jesus. And he will meet us at the gate. And we are learning how to love. So just close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm learning how to love.
I'm learning how to love.
Those who are very ugly.
Those who are very ugly.
Very self-centered.
Very self-centered.
And not always nice.
And not always nice.
I'm learning how to love them.
I'm learning how to love them.
Like you love me.
Like you love me.
You laid it all down.
You laid it all down.
All your plans.
All your plans.
Went out the door.
Went out the door.
When you said yes to the Father.
When you said yes to the Father.
When you were on that rock.
When you were on that rock.
Crying out for grace and mercy.
And mercy.
You received that grace and mercy.
You received that grace and mercy.
And I'm receiving it today.
And I'm receiving it today.
Because of your blood, Lord.
Because of your blood, Lord.
I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I'm holy.
I'm holy.
And I'm going continually.
And I'm going continually.
To understand your grace.
To understand your grace.
As I give it out to others.
As I give it out to others.
On a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
Whether they deserve it or not.
Whether they deserve it or not.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
Amen.